Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Carrie Langford, a licensed master social worker and associate director of Dementia Care Partners at Banner Sun Health Research Institute. And today we're going to be discussing DCP. And Janice, I think this is such an interesting program that we offer that not a lot of people are aware of. And it really blends kind of the heart of BAI, where we have this interdisciplinary model of care. We're so focused on research. And DCP really came about, there's some really interesting statistics around it. But the idea was that primary care providers could and should be able to diagnose their patients with dementia, but it's just not happening. And if we look at the stats, you know, really, if existing dementia specialists took on as many patients as possible, they would not be able to care for more than 10% of all the people in dementia in the United States. So we have a serious shortage of dementia specialists. Then at least half of patients with dementia do not get evaluated, receive a diagnosis, or get treated with available medications or other care through their disease course. Half of dementia patients. Finally, practitioners really lack practice models that accommodate the needs of people with dementia and thus are often unable to incorporate dementia-specific care plans, including appropriate medication treatment, monitoring, and all the non-medical care people and families need to live well with dementia. When Dementia Care Partners started, as I said, ideally, we wanted the primary care physician to feel empowered to make this diagnosis. But what the primary care providers were saying back to us was they needed more support. Yes, they could make that diagnosis, but then it kind of becomes that tongue-in-cheek, the diagnose and adios. They didn't feel like they had anything to offer them to support these families after providing that diagnosis. And so Dementia Care Partners was created to augment the care provided by a primary care physician.
Heather, supporting our caregivers and people living with dementia and the PCPs and everyone involved is so important. And I love how we're talking about this practice model. And you know I love research. And when this research-driven program was a pilot program, I actually participated in the research by calling the caregiver participants to follow up and find out if the program was helping to support them and in what ways. And the responses were overwhelmingly positive. And I'm so interested in finding out more about the Dementia Care Program, the research behind it, and how caregivers and people living with dementia are being positively impacted by this program.
Welcome, Carrie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Heather and Janice. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Before we learn a little bit more about Dementia Care Partners, I want to learn some more about you. Can you tell us about your journey and what led you to connect with the dementia community?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really funny because years ago I was cleaning out my my papers from my parents' house, and there was a coloring book that I had made when I was in kindergarten, and it was one of those, what do you want to be when you grow up? Who do you want to marry? And in that, I drew a picture of a nurse and then somebody in a wheelchair. And in that I said, I want to work with old people. I quote that.
Oh.
And the other weird thing is I said, I want to marry Jeff. I don't know who Jeff was at the time, but Jeff is my current husband. So I think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it really started when I was in kindergarten, but when I was 13, I had to do a community service project for my bat mitzvah. And I did volunteer hours at one of the local long-term care facilities and met this wonderful woman named Margie. And she really, at that time, sparked my interest in working with geriatrics. So years later, I went ahead and became a CNA, certified nursing assistant, and did that for a few years in a long-term care facility. And finally, when I graduated with my bachelor's degree in recreation therapy, I went and continued in long-term care working with veterans. So I did that for quite a while. I went back to school for my master's in social work, again, continued in long-term care, and have been in long-term care ever since. So, you know, my fondest memories really are when I was able to do work on the different dementia units, because that's just where I really, really found the passion. Sitting in my office, I remember trying to get some work done at the end of the day and having my residents come wander in and sit down on a chair next to me. And they would just tell me about their day. They would tell me, you know, the problems they're having with their work, or, you know, budgetary issues that they were facing, or, you know, they couldn't find the keys to get them into whatever office. And I just remember thinking how enjoyable it was for me to be able to just really enter their reality. This is what was happening for them and in their world. So it was all reminiscent of who they were, what they did in their life. And it really gave me the opportunity to enter their world and decrease any feelings of burden that they were having, any anxiety that they were having, just really by simply just entering their world with them. So, you know, this is really, like I said, I've been in geriatrics now for over 20 years, and here with Banner and Dementia Care Partners for just over 2.5. So that's really what led me to Banner.
What an amazing story, Carrie. And I love so many times when we ask this question of people that we're interviewing, they talk about this being a lifelong passion, but we don't normally get to hear evidence of it really showing itself in kindergarten.
Right.
So, could we just start with a little bit of level setting? Can you tell us what is Dementia Care Partners?
Yeah, you gave a great introduction. So as you said, Heather, Dementia Care Partners was really formed because primary care physicians don't have the time, expertise, or inclination to really be able to provide the what to do now that you're diagnosed. So Dementia Care Partners really came to partner. It's a partnership between the primary care offices and us. So we can provide the now what. So we can provide the caregiver the resources, the education, the specialized education and skills training to make caregiving really as easy as possible when caring for somebody with dementia. So Dementia Care Partners really uses this specialized workforce of health coaches. And they're the ones that are working directly with the caregiver on trying to help them navigate some of the day-to-day challenges that a caregiver might be having, any changes in behaviors or mood. They can help provide some different skills and techniques to incorporate, and really the education behind why these things are happening and what's changing and really what to expect, and be able to support the caregiver along the journey, again, to try to decrease any caregiver burden and make caregiving as easy as possible.
Carrie, when this program was launched, tell me about those bigger picture goals. Why was it launched in addition to what you already shared about?
Yeah, in addition to what we are already shared about, you know, decreasing caregiver burden over time, increasing, you know, the length of time a person can remain at home instead of being institutionalized. Some of the bigger goals that Dementia Care Partners is going to prove is that by using this workforce of health coaches that can educate caregivers, it's going to show that we can reduce total healthcare costs and utilization of emergency room visits and unnecessarily hospitalizations. You know, most of us in the field know that a hospital is no place for somebody with dementia. Tends to escalate and make things worse. So, if a person is equipped with knowledge and is able to tell the difference between maybe an acute event versus just a behavioral change, then that person can remain at home instead of going to a hospital, maybe where they're, going to be, their behaviors might escalate. So we really want to show a decrease in unnecessary hospitalizations and ER visits. And then we also really want to make sure that people that are appropriate for it are put on anti-dementia medications or anticholinergic medications and antidepressants if they are eligible for it. And on the reverse, we also want to make sure that people are taken off of inappropriate medications when they might be contradicting to the dementia and maybe even be escalating certain types of behaviors. So we really want to show that people are put on the appropriate medications and taken off inappropriate medications. Really, we want to be able to show that not only the caregiver has increased satisfaction, increased ability to care for their person. We also want to see increased provider satisfaction, their primary care providers. Since we are partnering with them, we want to make sure they feel that their patients are being cared for and provided the support that they need through dementia care partners. And overall, really just decreasing caregiver burden.
I think these are very lofty goals. And what I love about them is so many times when we're talking about dementia and caring for someone with these diseases, we stress the importance of being proactive rather than reactive. And you're bringing these health coaches in to educate before something becomes an issue. And you talked about this workforce of health coaches. And I think another point that I really like about this program is you use a multidisciplinary approach. So you're not just using the health coaches, right?
Right, that's correct. So we are multidisciplinary. We have a team with the health coaches. We have licensed social work. We have a medical director who is a geriatric psychiatrist. And together, we are able to really come together to provide the best options, the best care and support we can offer, as well as, intervening with the primary care provider as needed.
I think it's so important that you are doing this, and it's amazing to bring everyone together to make a difference. And I've heard you talk about the six domains for families. Can you tell us about those six domains and what that even means?
The six domains are really over time what we've determined the caregivers are needing most education, most resources, most tools on. So these six domains will be addressed throughout the lifetime of the program that the dyad, the caregiver and patient, we call them the dyad, the length of time that they're in the program. So throughout that time, we'll talk about caregiver wellness, which is the importance of making sure the caregiver is taken care of, getting the rest that they need. So we'll provide resources and support in that area. As another one we address is cognition. So all of the changes that is happening, the different stages of dementia and how it affects the brain, how it affects different areas of cognitive function. Another domain we address is actual physical function and how the person might be changing in their ability to handle their own activities of daily living or instrumental activities of daily living, how that changes over the course of the disease. We also address life care planning, which is really making sure we address patient caregivers' advance directives, making sure they have all of their end-of-life documents and paperwork in place, because that really will have to probably be addressed over time. Oftentimes, a caregiver will have as their power of attorney their spouse who now has dementia. So that person's not going to be able to act on their behalf. We have to update those advance directives as needed. So making sure all that's in place. We also will be addressing their mood and behavior because oftentimes that is affected and will change throughout the duration of the disease process. So, again, providing different resources, education, care tips, and strategies to help maybe redirect. And then finally, safety. We want to address any safety concerns, whether that be a patient who continues to want to drive well after they shouldn't be driving, or making sure we have medications properly stored, or if there's any weapons in the home, making sure those are also stored, as well as addressing any possible hazards within the home, such as rugs or poor lighting or different things that we can address with the caregiver. So all of those items will be addressed throughout the life of the program, in addition to anything else that the caregiver reports as being something that they really need to have addressed at that visit.
I think it's a really helpful snapshot, and those six domains that you mentioned are certainly common themes that I hear in my work around education and outreach. Now, you mentioned a few times when you were describing these different domains how it will change over the course of the disease. I wonder if we could go back and talk a little bit more about kind of the structure of this program. Do these health coaches stay with the dyad indefinitely through the progression, or is this a time-limited program?
Yeah, great question. When Dementia Care Partners started, it was kind of an open-ended program. So the health coach would stay with the dyad until the dyad felt that they no longer needed our support, or until the patient was placed, or until there was another reason why they couldn't continue. So it was open-ended. That was our pilot phase of the program. We learned a lot, we gathered some research. There was an article published in the Geriatric Psychiatry Journal. And now that we've learned from that, we have changed the program again, and it's now time limited. So it is a 6-month program, and the same health coach will stay with that dyad from start to finish.
That was such a good question, Heather. And I'm just wondering, from the beginning of the pilot to today, Carrie, can you just share with us what else have you learned?
Yeah, it seems like one of the main things that we hear, and it's interesting because you hear so many recurrent themes, but really what screams at us is caregivers just need some extra help. They just need some respite. They are tired, and they're giving all they can possibly give, but oftentimes they just don't have enough resources or know the resources that they can utilize to get some help in the home to give them some relief. So I think that's one thing. The other thing is, once people tell you their story, the caregivers tell you their story, they tell you what's going on with their person with dementia, and you can normalize it for them, because it's the same thing that happens with this person and this person and this person and this person. And I don't think people really understand that it's such a lot of the behavioral changes, the emotional changes, the ups and downs of the caregiver as far as their emotions are all so normal. And if they were able to, bounce this off of each other, I think, it's extremely helpful. So I think what I've learned is, if you can normalize it for people, it just takes a huge load off their shoulders. And again, that's, when we can refer them to a lot of the programs that, Family Community Services offers as well, as far as support.
That's so interesting and not necessarily what I was expecting. But now that you say it, normalizing the disease and normalizing this experience for caregivers just seems so very basic, but also so powerful for them. Initially, Dementia Care Partners went into the homes of these families and work with the dyads in their homes. And we just thought, this is the magic piece. This is essential. The health coaches are able to see what's going on in the home and better understand rather than the families coming to a clinic or something like that. But then a couple of years ago, a little thing called a pandemic happened, and going into homes wasn't feasible anymore. Can you talk to us about how did the pandemic affect Dementia Care Partners?
Yeah, so that definitely put a wrench in things. We were able to go out and do home visits before, and it you do get a different sense when you're able to enter someone's home and view the surroundings. But when the pandemic hit and we had to move everything either virtually or telephonically. We realized there were some people that were resistant to that, and we did lose some participants, but the majority of people were still willing to participate. But really, we found that being able to conduct visits virtually or telephonically really had the same effectiveness for these people. At the end of the day, they just need to be heard. They need to be able to vent. They need to express what's going on. And the health coaches are still just as able to provide the same education that they would face to face as they could over the phone. So while we prefer to see people face to face in their environment, it wasn't possible. And we're able now actually to reach a much, much bigger span with this next phase of Dementia Care Partners. We're able to extend right now to all of Arizona, where in the first pilot phase, we were about 8 clinics out in the West Valley. So because we're able to do it virtually and provide the same level of really the same level of expertise and support, we're able to reach a much bigger span of people that really could use our services.
It is so very exciting to hear about how this program has grown and blossomed even during a very difficult time. And we've learned that it can be even more effective virtually. I just find that so surprising. And with that being said, we have listeners around the world, and Alzheimer's and other related dementias are making an impact around the world. And so I'm wondering, why isn't this program already around the world?
It should be, definitely should be, and I think there are programs available in different states. Maybe not Dementia Care Partners, but there are similar programs that offer support services. I think if you can check with your local area agency on aging, they should be able to refer you. But really, what makes Dementia Care Partners unique is that we're using this workforce of health coaches, where other programs utilized maybe licensed professional staff, where they might be registered nurses or clinical social workers or even licensed case managers. So the Dementia Care Partners utilizes health coaches, which are an unlicensed team. So when you bring in all these other licensed professionals, it can become a more a costly program to really run.
Carrie, I think we've heard so many interesting pieces that our listeners and our caregivers at home can apply to their daily lives. But I'm curious to hear from you. What do you think the big takeaways from this program are for caregivers who maybe don't have access to something like this? What can they learn from what you're doing, and what can they apply in their daily lives?
Seek out support. Absolutely, for sure. 100% seek out support. There's support services, whether or not you can get in, through a specialized dementia program or not, through maybe your local church or synagogue. There's support groups all over. There's adult day healthcare centers around the valleys that offer different support groups. So I would say seek out support as much as you can, because peers are a wealth of information, and it's just such a good opportunity to brainstorm and bounce things off each other. And it's just a huge support system if you can and find different outlets to get that from.
Seeking out support is so vital. And Carrie, it just brings to mind what you were saying earlier, about how we need to normalize this for people and help them to know that they are not alone.
It's so important, because I speak to people on the phone. They'll say, "Oh, really? I didn't know other people were feeling this way. I didn't know this was happening to other people. Oh, I feel so much better that you told me that." And it's just an experience, and it's when you can go through it together with other people that are going through the same things, it's just a huge relief, and it's very beneficial.
Carrie, this has been a really interesting conversation, and I wonder if you could give us your final thought when it comes to dementia care partners.
Yeah, I was reading an article today, and just a sentence really resonated with me. And this is in regards to caregivers and caregiving ability. And it's really, you can't fill others' cups from an empty cup. So if you're going to be a caregiver, you have to be able to take care of yourself to be able to give and care for others. So do what you need to do as a caregiver. Seek out the support, seek out the respite, seek out the resources, the education, the tools, so you can be your best self. Because if you're working on an empty cup there, you're not going to be able to provide the care that your loved one needs. So it's just dementia care partners. Again, we partner with the primary care provider to be able to support you as a caregiver and teach you the skills that you need to be your best.
Today, our conversation has been with Carrie Langford, a licensed master social worker and the associate director of DCP. We so appreciate you helping us untangle dementia care partners.
Thank you for having me.
Carrie, thank you so much for being with us. And I loved wrapping up with that quote that you read. You can't fill others' cups until you have filled your own. So I would remind you to seek support and reach out for help when you need it as a caregiver. And hey, Heather, thank you for another great conversation. And thank you to you, of course, our listeners, for joining us. If you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiaUntangled@bannerhealth.com.